Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
That is one of the ways that you combat antichrists. It's one of the ways that you combat false teaching. Pay attention to the anointing. The second way is the word, verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. What did you hear from the beginning? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and nothing that was made without him. That's in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Jesus is God in human form. I just found out that all the Halloween costumes are in the stores. And so you can go to Costco now, and there's Halloween costumes in Costco. It's August. At the beginning of August, the Halloween costumes come out. This means that Christmas is near. You know, because we're not even going to get to Halloween before the Christmas decorations are coming up. And every time we get around Christmas, Isaiah 9:6 talks about the coming of the Messiah. And it says, it talks about the fact that we're going to have a son. A son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. The fact that Jesus is God is not something that's confined to the New Testament. It's not something that should be a surprise to anybody. God flat out said it in the Old Testament. And so when we're looking at what the Word has to say about Jesus, we need to be paying attention to that, because false teachers always attack the nature of Christ. They want to make him something less than God. They want to make him something less than the Father. Many of these false teachers want to make him an angel, or they want to make him a lesser God, or something like that. It's just not something that the Bible teaches. Jesus said this, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." And the point that Jesus said this. The point that Jesus was making is the same honor that you give to the Father is the same honor that belongs to the Son. I use this all the time with Jehovah's Witnesses, because they can't do it. They have a problem with it. They don't like the verse, and they certainly don't like it that it came out of Jesus' mouth. They don't like it, but that's what the Bible has to say. So the same honor that I give to the Father is the same honor that I'm supposed to be giving to the Son. And I need to understand that the Father is not the one who's going to stand in judgment over me. It's going to be the Son. It's going to be Jesus himself. I'm going to be standing before him. And so, again, you have this whole thing with Jesus being the Messiah. Third thing is I need to allow the Word to abide. I need to be paying attention to the Word of God and then the things that I've heard from the beginning. And I need to allow the Word to abide. Look again at verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And so the Word of God is something that's supposed to abide in me. You know what the word abide means? It means it's rooted and grounded. It means it lives there. And so if the Word of God is abiding me, it's something that I've taken in. It's something that lives in me. It's something that I've brought inside, and it's part of me now. You know, we just started a new series this morning on having a biblical worldview. And the Bible talks about the fact that I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Well, the way that my mind gets transformed is God convinces me. God begins speaking to me. God begins changing my mind, changing my attitude, making me more and more like him. And the way that that takes place is through the Word of God. I need to allow the Word of God to abide in me. If the Word of God is not abiding in me, then I'm going to have some real issues as a Christian. And usually that's where the problem is. I may be saved. I may be absolutely in love with Christ on some level, but I'm struggling in all kinds of areas. And the reason I'm struggling in all these areas is I haven't let go of what the world has to say about how life is supposed to go. I haven't believed what God has to say about what my life is supposed to be like, what my attitudes are supposed to be towards things. When I got saved, I was a liberal. I believed in abortion. I believed in evolution. I believed in sex before marriage. I believed in trying a woman out for a long time before I ever made a commitment to her. I believed in all that stuff. That's who I was. And when I became a Christian, what had to happen is all that had to go out the door. I knew it when I walked in the door of a church. I knew that that's where we were going. But when I became a Christian, I realized those things are wrong. And I got confirmation of that, you know, as I went on and that kind of stuff. You know how I became anti-abortion? All I ever did, I watched a video series by a guy named Francis Schaeffer, and what he described was abortion procedures. Didn't show icky pictures, didn't do anything like that. He just described what an abortion procedure involved. And I just went, because I'd never understood that. He described the gestation period, and I never understood it. You know what? It's stuff that I learned in school. Every one of us has learned this stuff in school. You've seen the little pictures of, you know, eggs turning into zygotes, you know, turning into, going through the whole process. I'm getting old. I can't remember all the terms. But it turns into a fetus and that whole thing, and you see it getting bigger and that kind of stuff. And most of the stuff that looks weird takes place within the first 10 weeks. And from 10 weeks on, you have things like heartbeats, and you have nerves, you have brain activity, you have all of this kind of stuff that's going on. And I knew that from my biology lessons, but when I'm doing biology and sociology, we don't put these together. And what ended up happening was I had a guy on a videotape who put them together. And I understood at that point, oh my goodness, this is what we're doing. And that's when I became anti-abortion. And it wasn't because somebody told me to or had, you know, told me that I had to because you're a Christian now and now you have to do this. It was because all that had to happen with me was somebody had to tell me the truth. And as soon as they told me the truth, I recognized it and I went with it. God convinced me. He transformed my mind. And that's what's been taking place ever since then. And so you have to allow the Word of God to abide in you. And if it abides in you, then things are going to happen. It leads to a relationship. Again, verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. You know how people have this problem with giving their lives to Jesus and then walking away and giving their lives to Jesus and then walking away and giving their lives to Jesus and then walking away? You know how they have that problem? You know how that goes on? Well, the reason that goes on, according to this passage, is because they're not abiding in the Word. It's give your life to Jesus, begin paying attention to what the Bible has to say about Him, begin taking the Word into your life, making it a part of you, and then you won't want to leave. Because you start seeing the glories of Christ. You start seeing the things that He has for you. You start seeing how good He is and the fact that He's worth worshiping just because He's worth it. Even if He never gave me anything, He's worth it. And you have that whole thing. And so I need to abide. Paul said to Timothy, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then he says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. There's a salvation that comes after salvation. And the salvation that Paul is talking about there is not salvation from sin or, you know, living forever. The salvation he's talking about there is the fact that I don't have to live the life that I used to live. God saved me in all kinds of areas. The first day I got saved, I'm going to heaven from that point on. But I needed to be saved from myself. I needed to be saved from my culture. I needed to be saved from my environment. I need to be saved from all kinds of things. And that's what Jesus does as, again, we pay attention to the Word. So when I teach you, I do these things. I read the Word. The Word, when it says, till I come, give attention to reading, it's the public reading of the Word of God. There's a reason that I do this. It's because it's in the Bible, you guys. And to exhortation. And to doctrine. Doctrine is telling you what it means. Exhortation is taking the things, all the implications, applying them to your life and showing you how to do these things. And that's all the parts of a good Bible study, you Bible scholars. Those three parts. You read it publicly, you tell them what it says, and you tell them how to do it. And if you do that, you got a good Bible study. If any of those parts are missing, it's messed up. It's incomplete. And then finally, I need to be somebody who abides in Christ. If I allow the word to abide in me, it's going to help me in combating the antichrists. If I pay attention to the word, it's going to help me to combat antichrist. If I pay attention to the anointing of the Spirit, it's going to help me to combat antichrist. And finally, I need to be somebody who abides in Jesus. Verse 27 through 28, at the end of verse 27, it says, "But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children," verse 28, "abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." And so abiding in Christ, again, is going to be something that helps me to be able to combat these people who are going around and teaching false doctrine. Again, what's the word abide mean? Rooted and grounded. It's the idea of staying someplace. It's you live here. It's you live here. And so when you are abiding, I abide in my home. So that's where I live. And so I have an address on Finley Road that I've had since 1990. I haven't moved. You know why I haven't moved? It's because before I got into my sophomore year, I went to 12 different schools before my sophomore year. I moved all over the place. And, you know, some of it had to do with being in the military. Some, not me, but my family being in the military. Some of it had to do with just sin in my family's life and wanting to get away from things, that kind of thing. And so I've been all over the place. And when I got on my own, I don't want to move. And so I got here and I, you know, we prayed about the house that we were going to buy. I made sure that my wife prayed about it. And she said, "I want that one." And so I kind of wanted to build my own, but you know, she wanted one that was older and I was like, okay. And so we bought the place and I've lived there ever since. And I don't want to move. The longer that I'm alive, the less I want to move because the more stuff I collect. And so, you know, I have to tear down my old barns and build bigger barns, you know, because I have so many things, you know, fool. I'm quoting from Jesus. In any case, I got all this stuff. And now I certainly don't want to move. I want to leave it for my children to deal with. I'm going to die. They're going to have to go, "Why did Dad keep all this stuff? He's got construction tools from 1990. Why?" No. Anyway, I abide there. I don't move. I haven't moved. And it's the same thing with being a Christian. The part of the reason that people have such a struggle is because they keep moving. You know, Jesus is not trying to get away from you. Jesus is in a certain place. He's always there. He never moves. He just stays in a certain area. And all I got to do is plug into him and stay there. Well, you know, I always use the example of fruit trees. You know, I love peaches. I have some peach trees. They're about to die. I think the last one may have just died this year. My sheep are eating them. Makes me irritated. It's not my horse. It's the sheep. If my horse is doing it, it's because the sheep taught him. In any case, I got peach trees. I love peaches. And so, you know, it's like when you plant a tree, you can't plant a tree and then go dig it up and replant it and then go dig and go, I don't like where it's at now, and go dig it up and replant it. And I don't like where it's at now, and go dig it up and replant it. You can't do that. What's going to end up happening is it's going to die because it never gets the roots down into the ground. It never gets the nutrients it needs. It's that kind of thing. You can't move trees. They need to get planted. And when they're planted, they begin to grow and they produce fruit. That's the way that it's supposed to work as a Christian. So when I got saved, there was basically one thing that I was told. I need Jesus. I had all the reasons that I was told that I need Jesus, and that's the gospel. But the one thing that I was told was, you need Jesus. You need to have him. You need to be with him. He needs to be in your life. It's the first thing that I learned. Guess what I still need? Yeah, I need to have him. He's the most important thing in my life. I need to be rooted in him. I need to not move. And every time that I've had a problem, It's because I moved. It wasn't God moving. It was me moving. And so I moved. And so it's got to stop. So you need to plant yourself in Christ. You need to stay in the place where God can bless you, where the Lord is, and stop moving around, man. And again, you know, I think that, you know, people freak out with the word abiding. Abiding is not a work. Trees don't work. You know, I mean, the definition of work is moving something. That's the definition of work. That's science, you guys. And so trees don't work. They don't move things. And, you know, now I'm getting all technical because they do move water up and down their trunks and all that kind of stuff. But as far as moving, as far as we can see things, they don't move anything. They just sit there. And what they do is they soak up the nutrients and out come peaches. And it's just awesome. And, you know, the fruit comes. And when the Bible talks about the stuff that needs to be happening in your life, it's fruit. It's not work. It's fruit. It talks about the works of the flesh, and then it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. There's a reason that Paul used those words. That's in Galatians chapter 5. Works of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. Works are things that I do. Fruit is stuff that grows. And peach trees don't sweat. Peach trees don't grunt. You know, if you've been here for a while, you know my illustration. Peach. Never happens. Never happens. I've never gone out in the orchard and listened to the peaches screaming in the foyer. There was a scream in the foyer. Perfect. But you see what I mean? Abide. You just abide. Just stay where you're at. It's not moving around. This is also the outline for chapter 3. He says in this passage, "Now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." And so what John is going to talk about in the next chapter is what it means to abide in Christ. He's going to talk about the appearance of Jesus. He's going to talk about not being ashamed because of your walk with God. And he's going to talk about what practical righteousness looks like. And so it's kind of cool because he gives the outline of chapter 3 at the end of chapter 2. Let's get into chapter 3. I don't know. We've only got a couple of minutes, so I don't know how far we're going to get, but there's some good stuff in here. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." And so John begins talking about God's love displayed in his adoption of us in this passage. So he's going to talk about in this passage sin and the believer and how all this stuff works with us. But the first point that he makes is, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." I like that a lot. You guys know something about my background, and just had a messed up family life. It's still messed up. You know, it's like I've had some interactions with some family lately and, you know, didn't work out. You know, it's trying to do nice things, and it didn't work out the way that I thought it would, and I frankly just forgot what my family's like, and it was just a bummer. Totally hurt me, and then I just went, you know, and actually, part of the reason that it hurt me was because I forgot what happens, and I just walk away from encounters like that, and I'm just like, you know, I'd like to have like normal. I just want normal in my family, but it's never going to be that way. It's just so crazy. And I get normal. You know, Bobby's family has adopted me. "Behold what manner of love Bobby's family has bestowed on me, that I should be called part of their family." And so there's that. And then I have situations in my life as a Christian. I have a bunch of Christian moms. I have a bunch of replacement moms, and it's actually pretty cool. People mom me all the time, and I like it. I think it's pretty fun, and I don't expect it and that kind of thing. But there's a few ladies in my life that just kind of blow me away. I just did a 50-year anniversary celebration for one of them, and it's like every time that I go down to see these guys, whether I'm doing a wedding for one of their family or you know, whatever, you know, all the stuff that we get together with. You know, this is a crying family. Nobody cried in my family unless they were getting beat. You know, everybody toughed it out and stuff. And so I get around these guys. They're Hispanic too. And so there's a whole cultural thing that's happening there. I love these guys. But, you know, every time I get around them, everybody's crying. And it's like, then I start crying. And it's like, that's not supposed to happen, you know. And, you know, one of the girls married, actually the boys married white girls, and one of the girls married a white boy. And, you know, I'm sitting there, and all the boys, you know, this couple's boys, it's John and Nathan. Actually, my son was named after them. That's how close we are. And so he's Nathan John. And so John and Nathan get up, and they're doing toast for their parents and just weeping and stuff like that. And I got to come up next. And so I got tears in my eyes and stuff. And so Celia, their sister, his husband comes up. You don't need to know all the names, but he comes up and he starts talking, and he's a white guy. And so I'm like, okay, the white guy's going to talk. He's not going to cry. Does he cry? Yes. He cries like everyone else. And so by the time I get up there, I got, you know, all kind of weepy. And I got to say, you know, I'm saying nice things that are true, but it's just really hard and that kind of stuff. And it's a family that I never had. And I get to be a part of it. And they make me a part of it. They want me to be a part of it. Every time I go down, they're like, you need to come see us. And that kind of thing. And that's just in the family of God, in the sense of, you know, there's things that I gave up for Jesus. And part of what I gave up for Jesus was my family. And, you know, not on purpose, but, you know, it kind of goes that way. And Jesus is never going to be my debtor. He'll replace them. Fathers and mothers and lands. And, you know, he talked about the fact that you're never going to be God's debtor. And that's what he's been like with me. And so you have this whole thing on earth. And then on top of it, I get to be part of the family of God. You know, I don't deserve heaven, not even a little bit. And the older I get, the more I know my Bible, the more amazed I am that God would even pay attention to me. And it's not like I'm going on with sin in my heart or sin in my life. And, you know, I'm just amazed every day that God would listen to me. I don't even know all my sin. I do know that things are different than when I first got saved. I know that I'm not sinless, but I am sinning less. You know, Jesus is doing a work in me. And so I understand all that stuff, but I don't care. Because every time that I look at my life and I look at the darkness that's inside and that kind of thing, and there are things that God brings to light, and he's doing it kindly, but it's there. There's junk, and I'm constantly dealing with the flesh and that kind of stuff. And maybe not on the same level as I was when I was first saved, but I'm still dealing with the flesh. And I start, you know, the closer I get to the Lord, the more I recognize how holy he is and how pure he is. And how little I belong, and yet I belong. And he's given me a place. And not only has he given me a place, he's going to honor me, and he's going to call me his son. And he's going to do exactly the same thing with you. And none of us deserve it. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. I get to be in a family, and I get to be in a family that lasts forever. That's a very cool thing. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it didn't know him. I need to understand that if I'm going to follow the Lord, that there are some consequences from that. And one of them is that the world's not going to get me. They don't get me. They don't get you either. And the reason that they don't get you is because they don't get him. Hostility toward God, hostility toward the Son, is going to result in hostility toward believers.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today, and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.